From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Farm, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. A couple wins for Ole Miss last night in a couple different sports. Basketball team going to Columbia, Missouri, winning 90-87 in overtime, played extremely hard. A lot of effort last night from the Rebels, first game under Tony Madlock, the interim coach, first time without Andy Kennedy on the bench since, I guess, early 2006. So we'll talk about a little bit about that. Also, today we have, we'll talk baseball. Ole Miss beats Memphis last night, 8-6. In Oxford, moving to 4-0 in the season, a lot of early offense, and then had to hold on. The bullpen got banged around a little bit, but a couple guys did get out of jams, out of innings, and ended the game with a Dallas Woolfolk strikeout as Memphis had the tying run on second base with two outs there when the game ended. So Ole Miss 4-0 in the season. They played the Tulane Green Wave this weekend
in Oxford.
You weren't
nervous at all about having extra innings on a Tuesday night, were you?
It was a bit of a slog anyway. So, yeah, Brian Rippey and I were very concerned there in the late innings. Like, at one point, Brian works for the I can't do that. All right, moving on. The Oxford Exxon podcast. I don't want to get a call from him later. The Oxford Exxon podcast brought to you every day by the Oxford Exxon. Again, told you, with all the games coming up this weekend, the FCAA breakfast is Saturday. You get the tickets at OleMissFCA.com. Get some ribs one night. Let it take care of dinner for you. Make it easy on you. Also, lunch specials, $4.99, two sides bread, 32-ounce drink there at the Oxford Exxon. And remember, Evan Ingram is the guest speaker this weekend. Again, last chance to get tickets for that, OleMissFCA.com. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
His sister's still playing at Georgia, right? Evans?
Yeah, they were here. They played Ole Miss and Oxford the other night.
Yeah.
I saw pictures, yeah.
She's a senior now, I guess? Feels like she's been there forever.
Yeah.
Good for her, though.
McKenzie, I believe, is her name.
That's right. She's played a lot. Good for her. Yeah, we're coming to Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just a great deal, great service, everything. And then all you have to do, in addition to make it even better, is tell Corey, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
So last night I got in from baseball, ran a little late. I was having a hard time getting a couple things published, but got home, saw the most of Missouri and Ole Miss. Ole Miss played a great first half, giving their ability. Missouri comes back, makes a run, and you and I just briefly discussed this a second ago before we came on air. It felt like once Missouri had made that run, Missouri gets up by six, I think, at one point.
Yeah, so up six late.
And went, oh, well, there you go. They kind of expended their energy. It's sort of over. And then found another gear, win it in overtime. Missouri misses some free throws, kind of got tight there in a game they had to have. But credit to Ole Miss still. But it brings in a really interesting situation, whereas Andy has failed to get the team to play for him last few weeks, the last month, whatever it is.
Oh, failed. Yeah.
Walks away because of it, essentially. Last night, without AK on the bench, the hardest they've played all season.
Yeah, for sure.
And you said it a second ago, almost kind of playing against him, it seemed like.
That's what it felt like. I mean, they weren't playing. There's no hatred for Missouri there. I mean, it's
that used to be kind of a fun rivalry the first couple of years they were in the league.
That 2013 year, it was intense. Those games, those two teams, for whatever reason, did not like one another. They were chirpy.
Yeah.
Missouri had some chirpy guys, and Ole Miss had Holloway and Marshall Henderson, who were chirpy guys. And so I always thought it was so funny. I'll get to this guy, I promise. I always thought it was so funny to watch those two teams play, and Reggie Buckner would be on the same floor. And sometimes you'd be with Reggie, you'd be like, what the hell is everybody so worked up about?
You never really knew what Reggie you were going to get, did you?
Yeah, you might get really pissed off, Reggie. And you might get just, huh? Yeah, why are we here?
The like non-traditional, like taking out state or something. The strange rivalries that do get really, really chirpy is Ole Miss Arkansas football, yeah. Ole Miss Missouri basketball, and Ole Miss Vanderbilt baseball. Those yeah. are the three kind of strange ones that, for whatever reason, they get sort of intense and weird.
Yeah, there's not a lot of logical rhyme or reason to it. It just happens.
Yeah. And it's consistent. It's year over year over
yeah,
year.
Yeah,
I mean, last night, I'm sure some Missouri people probably, when they got to the arena, goes, God, we don't beat these guys. Like, kind of freaked out a little bit. Ole Miss has handled Missouri for the most part in the league.
Well, now, look, we get to the Ole Miss thing in just a minute. For Missouri, that's it. This devastating loss.
Oh, it was catastrophic.
It was a catastrophic, oh, my God, what now loss. They have put themselves in a position where I don't know that they can lose again. Certainly in the regular season.
Is it that bad even?
Oh, okay. Man. I mean, they got to win.
I'm pulling up KenPom now.
They got to win out in the regular season. For Ole Miss, I mean, look, it felt like it. I didn't watch a lot of it. I had stuff going on at home. I was busy. Carson had soccer. I got in, all that stuff. Anyway, homework, all that stuff. I had an eye on it. I saw where they had a lead, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to watch the second half. And then there was something going on at home, and ended up watching the Unabomber series on Netflix, keeping an eye on it, because Missouri was chopping into the lead, and they took the lead. And I thought, like you, they ran out of gas. And about 9:35, 9:40, I flipped to it. Probably saw the last 5 to 7 minutes-ish of the game, and then all of the overtime. I just thought they played with a remarkable intensity. They played with heart. They played defense with heart. It was as if they were – there was a lot of frustration. Their ego had been probably assaulted a little bit. They have been insulted some. And then I thought they were sending a statement to a lot of people. Obviously, first and foremost, probably Andy Kennedy. What that statement is, I don't know. Whether it's about the relationship on that team, something, looking back on it, something seemed to have happened halftime-ish in Starkville Saturday. Because AK coached one way on Saturday in the first half and a completely different way in the second half. And then obviously he steps down on Sunday. So kudos to those kids, though. They played hard. I won't say it was a big win because it wasn't a big win. It was a win. It's a huge loss for Missouri. It speaks volumes to their they would have been excused to roll over and get beat by 20. No one would have thought anything of it.
Missouri has lost two straight, lost LSU and Baton Rouge on Saturday, and then lose to Ole Miss at home. They have fallen from 24 to 38 in the RPI. In KenPom, they are down to around 38 as well, somewhere in that stretch.
A bubbly number, Chase. That is not a good number when now you have two really bad losses on your schedule. Nothing, Ole Miss fans, please don't get upset at me for saying that. It's just true.
I mean, Ole Miss is 95 in KenPom.
The Illinois loss and the Ole Miss loss are losses that give the committee an excuse to not put Missouri in the tournament.
So they've got – they're 18-10, 8-7 right now. KenPom projects 2-1 the rest of the way prior to St. Louis to put them
have?
At 20-11, 10-8.
Who do they have left?
They go to Rupp in the next game. That's going to be an intense one, isn't it?
And they're playing better.
They're still not good, but they're playing
but
better.
But they're playing better.
They've beaten Alabama and Arkansas in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And then they go to Nashville to play Vanderbilt and then come back home and play Arkansas.
Ooh.
They'll beat Arkansas at home. Arkansas doesn't play very well on the road.
Yeah, they'll win that game. The other two...
They're predicting on KenPom a loss to Kentucky and then a win in Nashville and a win at home against Arkansas.
And that would send them to St. Louis so squarely on the bubble. Michael Porter Jr. is supposed to go to the doctor tomorrow.
You don't think he's playing?
I don't.
I don't necessarily either, but I wonder who the PR guy that's had this thing run out like this, because it has been a catastrophe of a how to handle a situation.
A disaster.
Because it's leaving everybody wondering, and when I walked in the room, I went, "What? Let me just throw this hypothetical at you. He plays two games and plays well, and they're squarely on the bubble. Wouldn't his presence push them over the top, as
yes.
weird as that is?
Yes.
It's stupid, but it's true.
Yes.
Well, they're bubbly, but hey, they got this dude.
that would give the committee an excuse to put them in.
So there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to go play in a 7-10 game or whatever the things are in St. Louis.
No, Chase, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to go play at Rupp on Saturday.
Well, he's not playing there, in my opinion.
Well, there's only 1 week after that.
Okay. I know. You think he's playing Saturday?
No. I don't think he's playing at Missouri.
You think the doctor is going to give him a little poor bill of health on Thursday? Just better be careful there. Be careful.
What's interesting is I've heard that inside that family, there's a family split.
Really?
Dad thinks he should play. Mom thinks he should not.
Okay.
Agents are telling him not to play.
Oh, yeah.
Scouts are telling him not to play.
He played, what, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Give or take?
He would have been one of the first 5 picks in the draft last year. Makes you wonder if he ever intended to play.
That's my wonder. It's a conspiracy worth exploring.
Poor Gabe. Because Gabe's one of the really good guys in our business, man. And he is dealing with...
Appreciate the video, by the way, of Tony Madlock last night. I told you, Missouri... Gabe, like, they'll have nice things for a little while. You know, the basketball team wins 5 in a row. And then Missouri's that school since they've joined the league where every time it starts getting just a little sunny, tornado.
Yeah.
Monsoon hits Columbia.
Yeah, storm.
I mean, they had all the off the field crap with the university and the safe spaces and all that stuff. You've got – I mean, even this football team sitting here, we talked to Gabe about it last week. They go 6-6 and make a bowl game, but when you look at it, it was the least impressive 6-6 in modern history. They beat literally no one with a winning record.
Yeah.
They just beat all the bad teams. And then Texas pops them in the bowl game.
Yeah.
I think Barry Odom's fired at the end of next year, frankly. I mean, it's weird. Missouri is a bad fit for this conference, and the way they act themselves is not has not ingrained them any more into the league than they would be otherwise. They can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, and they're going to get the tournament in St. Louis and be just this weird, tight, goofy team.
Might go well, might not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Might not.
Who's your sleeper to win the thing?
Mississippi State.
Really?
I don't think they will. If you told me a team went and won it, they're good.
I'm telling you, a team that's not a top 4 seed wins it.
I'd probably say State.
Who are the top 4 seeds? Auburn, Tennessee.
Oh, hell, I don't even know. It's the league's so – I mean, like, it's so congested. Do you know this was the first year since 1988 that every team in the SEC won at least 5 games? Ole Miss won last night to give them 5 SEC wins. It's the first time in 20 years, 30 years, that a team has won – every team's won at least 5 games.
And – of note there, I saw some people go, well, they played more games, but yeah, but we haven't got to that point yet. We've hit the old mark for games played, so it's still relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, they've only played 15 games.
Which in 88, there would have been fewer teams in the league. How many games they played?
It's still noteworthy.
No, I'm just trying to think.
The point is what we've said all along, is that it is truly the one year that there's no great team, and the worst team is capable of beating – Ole Miss has now beaten Missouri – Alabama and Florida, 3 teams that are either in the tournament or all over the bubble. There's no team that is an automatic W. Show up and win.
Well, Ole Miss is in last place in the league, and they're 3 games out of a bye.
Ole Miss is in last place in the league, and they're in the top 100 in the
KenPom. Auburn 11-3, Tennessee 9-5, Florida 8-6, Bama 8-6, Arkansas 8-7, Missouri 8-7, State 8-7, Kentucky 8-7, LSU 7-8, Georgia 6-8, A&M 6-9, Carolina 5-9, Ole Miss and Vandy 5-10.
Two big losses. Big win for State last night. That's a big loss for A&M.
They're done.
They're toast.
A team that should be good and just – I know they're injured, but
– yeah, I don't –
should have lost to Ole Miss.
And there are rumors.
About Billy?
There are rumors.
Really?
About A&M.
I mean, it makes some logical sense to go, well, if this is even possible, to go, well, my outside 4 team to win it would be Kentucky, obviously. Just
yeah, but
talent.
that's not fair.
They're in 6th.
It's just...
little engine that could, Neil. Maybe they'll put it together.
Who are you picking to win the World Series? The Astros. Okay.
Well, they're not in first place. That's what I said. I wouldn't be stunned if Alabama won it.
Oh, I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't protect the rim well enough to go four games in a row. State protects the rim really well. Okay. You can beat State, but you have to shoot it pretty well to beat them. In a strange place, and State's got some decent guard play. They can make some things happen. They can score at the basket. I don't think State's going to win the tournament. I'm just saying, if you told me a team,
so who's winning the tournament?
Tennessee.
Okay, because Auburn's not winning the tournament.
No. Auburn losing Anthony McLemore, God bless him, that's a terrible injury.
Changes their entire team.
It just makes them so thin.
I mean, they're three guys down because two are FBI related and this dude.
Yeah, they're not winning the tournament. They're not doing anything. Tennessee's the best team in the league.
If you're the committee with Auburn, don't you have to like make them a four seed now?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Drop them lines. I mean,
If you're
and some 13 to be licking their chops.
Oh, absolutely salivating when they draw Auburn. Ooh.
Yeah.
Do this, boys.
East Tennessee or somebody coming in and going, hey.
East Tennessee lost last night, I heard.
To Citadel.
Yeah.
Yeah. People keeping a lot of tabs on the SoCon all of a sudden. Is it SoCon? Big South. Big South? SoCon.
It's Big South. No, SoCon.
SoCon?
I think.
Okay. I don't know. No clue. Anyway. Yeah, it's like Furman, Greensboro, East Tennessee.
Who's Florida play tonight?
Hold on, let me see if this actually goes to schedules. Big game for Florida plays Alabama. No, they don't. They play Auburn on the 24th. No, sorry, they play Tennessee at Tennessee.
That's right, because Chris Dorsey.
Florida at Tennessee.
Oof.
Here's the close for
it
Florida.
Could get squirrely.
Whoa, this is interesting.
I know, it could get squirrely. They still have Alabama left.
Florida goes to Tennessee, Auburn at home, to Alabama, Kentucky at home to finish.
Oof.
Mike better buckle up. That's a close right there, bud.
They could fall out. They're all over bubble. They are like a big bubble. Mike coached with Andy for a long time. He ought to be familiar with the feeling. You asked me where Mississippi State was. I said, well, they're where Ole Miss is most years. Got to keep winning. You're going to play meaningful games that you have to win.
Ole Miss going to have that same energy on Saturday home against Tennessee?
I wouldn't be surprised. Now, let me say this. They'll have to play better basketball to beat Tennessee. It still was this. Before anybody goes, they say it changed everything. No, they ran the exact same stuff.
They just played hard. Brian was a whole different kid last night.
That was the most fascinating. And he's tight with AK.
Tyree was aggressive.
Brian played more than DeAndre did.
Motivated last night.
DeAndre is the one that I suspect has some bitterness.
About the whole situation?
Yeah, kind of the way you get labeled a little bit. Subtly called out. Some kids can't handle being called out. And I'm not judging that one way or the other because I never played at that level. I don't know what it would feel like to get called out. I don't know whether it would piss me off and motivate me or whether it would kind of hurt me. I don't know. Is that fair? I don't know.
Yeah, it's fair.
I don't know what it would do to me.
Now, look, though, a huge part of coaching at any level is to push the ones that you push and to coddle the ones that need to be coddled.
Yes.
Everybody can't be coached the same way. You've got to figure that out over time, how to kind of massage different personalities and egos. I mean, it's something Mike Bianco struggled with early in his tenure and eventually really figured it out. He's very good at that now. But early on, it was just aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. And now you'll break a kid that way because right, wrong, indifferent, there are kids that can't be motivated in that fashion.
Not a right or wrong there. So you're exactly right. There's some kids that need to have their
butt. You can't go to the mound and treat Lance Lynn the same way you treated Nathan Baker.
No.
You'd break Nathan, and you'd just piss Lance off, and he'd be really good.
Right. You can go out there and get on a Lance Lynn, and he's like, all right, little man, leave. Yeah. Give me the damn ball. And as he's leaving, he's like, that son of a bitch, I swear to God, I'd like to throw this thing. And then
that's fine.
It's good.
Yeah.
You had to go out with a guy like Nathan Baker and kind of put an arm around
him. It's all right.
And go, hey, man, it's okay.
Yeah. We're going to go fastball outside right here. They're going to go change up in and all good. And we're going to.
Hey, did you see that girl in the seventh row? Isn't she pretty?
Yeah.
I mean, you just different deals. Neither kid. They're both great guys. I mean, I like Lance and Nathan, but they're different people. You coach one style, you better recruit one style. There's some kids that they need to have their ass kicked because that motivates them. And there's some kids that need to have a little pat on the fanny and say, hey, it's going to be okay, buddy. I love you. You know, and that's part of coaching. It's a big part of coaching.
And I covered one game. I have no idea. But just watching that team, I wouldn't be surprised if Andy, struggling, panicking a little bit, started mix-matching styles on totality instead of per kid, and it got kind of weird this year, in my opinion. Like, I think that's possible.
I will reiterate what I have said. I said this to Andy. 12 years in one place, in one job, is a long time. And you can grind your way to the point of there's nothing left to grind. And I think that's where he got. It was time. He knew it. Everybody else knew it. We can argue about the whole thing about the last offseason. I'm not going to change my opinion. You out there who aren't going to change yours, that's okay. We can agree to disagree and still be friends. But, you know, last night he coached them differently and they played hard. How much of that was just pressure off? I don't know. For Missouri, one hell of a big loss. For Ole Miss, it was a feel-good win.
And credit here to Tony Madlock. He got those kids to play, and look, he's in a weird situation too. Everybody talks about everybody else. I mean, strange deal for Madlock, a guy that was taken off the floor in the offseason, suddenly the interim coach for a few games, knowing it's a lame duck deal, trying to figure out what the next situation is, and he found a way to rally them. So credit to him, whatever that way was last night. So. I don't know him. He wouldn't know me if I walked in the room, but I was impressed with his demeanor last night.
I'll say this. I shouldn't. It's probably good for Ole Miss that if they were going to win that game and go on the little roll, that it's Madlock doing it and not one of the other two.
I thought the same thing. Just from a pure fan base standpoint.
There's nothing against those guys.
Yeah, no. Todd Abernathy is one of my favorite people in the world.
I love Todd. Todd's daughters and dance at the same dance academy that Caroline goes to. Caroline loves those little girls, the whole deal. I mean, I'm Todd's a super guy. It's not a knock on Todd. It's just from a pressure standpoint. Nothing against Tony. A 3-1 finish isn't going to there. People aren't going to put banners up on the square. I don't think. They might have for Todd or Raheem.
Let's take a break for a second and tell you the podcast is brought to you part of my MasterCuts. Listen here a little bit. Again, the number is 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. I got a couple of offers for podcast listeners coach. Not heated up for good. Still a little while before you got to do the yard and get everything situated for landscape. So let's talk power washing. You need some pressure washing for your house to make it look good, just get things leveled up for spring cleaning. Two different offers. You get a $50 discount on a pressure washing job over 2,000 square feet if you mention the podcast. Also, if you sign an annual contract, you get free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalk. So, again, $50 off on a job over 2,000 square feet or a free sidewalk and driveway pressure washing if you sign an annual contract. Again, 662-607-7773.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades, and no one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab at the top left. Filter through by what you are looking for. And then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Tulane in town this weekend for baseball. Tennessee in town for men's basketball at noon at the Pavilion. Tickets available. OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
Last night, SEC basketball scores. As you're aware, Ole Miss beats Missouri 90-87 in Columbia. They had a lot of bad weather, but the bus did get back to St. Louis with the team last night. They stayed in St. Louis. And then coming back today, I guess because of the weather and different things going on there last night. So I did see David Kellum tweeted that everybody was safe and sound and made it to that hotel, a Marriott in St. Louis. Mississippi State goes on the road, beats A&M 93-81, as we mentioned. Reed Arena, huge win for State. 20-8, 8-7, as Neil said. Place Ole Miss is very familiar with over the last decade or so. Kentucky 87-72. They've won two in a row now, beating Alabama and Arkansas. 19-9, 8-7 for Kentucky. 19-9, 8-7 for Arkansas. Kind of surprising. I didn't realize Arkansas quite had that record. And then LSU wins again at home, beating Vanderbilt 88-78. 7-8 in the SEC, 16-11, not getting into a tournament, but some momentum there for Will Wade in his first year for the program. So
yeah, for sure. Oh, and they have some really good players coming in.
Yeah, he's recruited.
Yeah.
Bill's done a nice job down there, too, as the assistant.
Let me say this.
Okay.
Bill Armstrong's absence this year was palpable. We just talked about coaching different guys different ways. There was a certain good cop, bad cop element with Andy and Bill. Andy would yell at him, frustrated, etc. And Bill could come in behind and go to the kid and go, "Hey, he just wants you to be great. He believes in you. He's just frustrated.
He was the head up guy.
He competes. Keep your head up." Exactly. He was the guy that came in behind and patted the guy on the backside and said, "Hey, it's going to be okay." And so there was a balance. AK got his message. Bill sort of guided him along. Sebastian Saiz was that way. I mean, that's what I hear early on. Andy would just scream at him, you know, and thank God the kid didn't understand English that well. But Bill would come in behind him and say, "It's going to be all right." You know, what he told you is right. And by the end, it was an all-SEC player. This year, two things happened. One, they lost Bill to LSU because of the whole Vitter thing. Undeniable. Raheem replaces him, and Raheem gets sick. So Raheem's absent. And there's no good cop. Maybe it's Todd, but Todd maybe doesn't have the built-in time that it takes to step in and be the good cop. And so the atmosphere changed. There's nobody to balance it out. It was a chemistry issue on that team. And you're adding all these new people. It's just a lot. There's a lot to overcome.
Yeah, no, it's good points. Turning the page a little bit, last night, only one baseball loss in the SEC. Kentucky loses to Xavier in Lexington 3-2. Fire Nick Mangione.
Fire him.
Go ahead and go to State now. Let's go ahead and fire him, get him out of Lexington, let him go down to Starkville and start running that as a former assistant with the Bulldogs. Tennessee over Lipscomb. The Bisons lose in Knoxville 8-5. South Carolina over North Florida 5-2. Alabama over Middle Tennessee 4-0. Ole Miss 8-6 over Memphis. Vanderbilt 7-1 over Presbyterian. Auburn struggling with some of that frisbee pitching, but beats Georgia State 3-2 on the Plains. Florida beats Florida Atlantic 6-1. They've got a freshman arm that's really, really, really good that threw last night for the Gators. I know we're all shocked. And then A&M 11-4 over Stephen F. Austin, the Lumberjacks, right? Stephen F. Austin?
Sounds right.
The Lumberjacks?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Ole Miss last night, Greg Kessinger, 4-for-5, 4 hits in the leadoff spot. Already got 8 hits in 4 games this season. Only had 27 all of last year, so off to a much much better start as
a
sophomore. Is
that sustainable? Not that level, but is that sustainable as a leadoff hitter through SEC play? Does he have the tool set to do that?
Well, his approach is much better because it's not the traditional leadoff of, you know, you kind of have that clash amongst generations that follow baseball. You've got the guy who goes, hey, the leadoff guy's got to be that dude that's really fast and takes all these pitches, and that's not really the younger analytics-driven leadoff man. I mean, Gray's the guy that's going to swing at a lot of early pitches in the count. It's, hey, let's get that fastball early, get out of the 2-strike counts that they start throwing all kind of funky stuff at you. Just make it simple. Let's see a fastball, hit a fastball, and proceed. And he's been pretty good at that. He's making much more aggressive swings. That was his problem last year. He was so passive in an effort to not strike out. He was just rolling over a lot of balls. Nothing was hit hard. He hit a lot of balls hard so far the last 4 games or the first 4 games. And I don't necessarily love him in that leadoff spot, but given all the options for right now, it's probably not the worst thing in the world because you're going to have a platoon at second base with Adams and Servideo for the current time, and I don't necessarily like platooning a leadoff hitter.
No.
So put Gray in there first, and then later on when you figure it all out, maybe you can figure that out too, but he's fine.
I don't think you even have to have a traditional leadoff man anymore. I don't think it's a necessity. It's nice. It's a luxury.
I'd rather him hit first than second. I think
I'm in the minority. I like a power bat in that 2-hole.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a traditionalist when it comes to lineup assembly.
Nick Fortes hits 2 home runs, has 6 RBIs last night for the Rebels, hit home runs in his first 2 at-bats.
He's on pace to hit more than 100 home runs this year.
Yeah. I added a sack fly later in the game as well, and Ole Miss needed it again because they gave up some runs late. But Fortes is their guy that's got to be the big stick in the middle of the order. He's the profile guy that if they're going to have
third.
He's hitting third right now. They hit Dillard 4th last night. I don't remember who they hit 5th, but nonetheless. Fortes is swinging the bat well. I'm not overly worried. He's going to hit. Golson's off to a really slow start, but they're still winning. Will be fine. He is what he is. And in 4 years, you've got a pretty good sample size to understand what that's
going to be.
Four
games, pretty big sample size. Something's wrong.
Pull the C off his chest. No
Take
longer the
off.
Captain.
Put it on Fortes if he's going to hit 100 home runs. My God, he's your captain.
Fortes closed last night. I mean, it's closed. Caught last. Fortes closing would have been a storyline.
That would have been interesting.
He caught last night as a, well, really receiving better than Cooper right now for Fortes. So
receives better but doesn't throw nearly as well.
Doesn't have the cannon, but
right.
Receives, blocks, that stuff. Because, I mean, look, see, Cooper's letting some pass balls. He's just he's being so stiff on his framing that it's causing a little bit of issue on certain pitches, but nonetheless, it's nitpicking at this point through 4 games. Houston Roth makes his first career start last night. He had thrown 3 innings on Friday, so he wasn't probably at full strength. But he did okay. He went 4, gave up a 2-run home run there in the 4th, but got out of 2 separate innings where they had a man on second with less than 2 outs. And he was good. I thought it was probably a very positive outing for him. He leaves with a big lead. And then late in the game, Will Stokes escapes a tough situation in the 8th, gives up some hits in the 9th, or gives up a hit and a walk in the 9th. Dallas Wolfolk comes in, the closer, gives up 2 hits as well. But wiggles out of that. Ole Miss wins 8-6. Wolfolk's velocity's a tick down, and he's added a lot of weight. I think it's probably a little bit of bad weight. I think he needs to drop a couple pounds to get the velocity back up. He was down around 91, 92 when he's been a 94, 95 guy for much of his career. And
he should do hot Pilates.
Should do hot Pilates.
Yep.
Look, it's February. I'm not making too much out of it, but I did notice a down tick last night in his velocity compared to where it's been in previous seasons. So.
Are you excited about another weekend of answering weather questions on the message board?
I thought we looked somewhat okay except for Saturday at times.
Friday, Showers during the day, thunder possible, high of 73, chance of rain 60%. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms, low of 61, chance of rain 90%.
Oh, really?
Saturday, thunderstorms during the day, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, becoming more widespread in the afternoon, high of 73, chance of rain 90%.
Oh, good.
Saturday night, showers with a possible thunderstorm in the evening, then variable clouds overnight with still a chance of showers, low of 46, chance of rain 100%.
So you're telling me they need to get one in and play two Sunday?
I'm telling you, you're going to be answering weather questions for 72 hours.
And look, I don't mind, and I really enjoy that the community is all a one-stop shop, but I have no idea more than anyone else when you look at the forecast. I mean, with
that's kind of what I was getting at, is it's just funny.
What's the guy's name? James Spann over in Birmingham? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's good
Your
question.
Weather app works as well as mine.
Well, I do have that RainAware one that I really like that gives me the five-minute increments over the 3 hours. Yeah. It costs like $4, and I've actually gotten a lot of enjoyment out of that. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know. Good question.
You could give them Mike's cell phone, let them text him and ask. That would go over really well.
Oh, man. What would happen if I just handed out Mike's cell phone number to the message board?
For all weather-related questions.
Text this number.
Text this number. You can't tell I didn't sleep last night.
That might be worth getting your credential pulled.
Oh, God. I think he'd... Mike's a pretty peaceful guy, but your life would be in a certain degree of danger for a little while. His kids would think it was funny.
Yeah.
They would laugh.
That's true.
Cammy might even laugh. Mike would not laugh.
No, but I don't know. It was a midweek game. They won it. They beat Memphis, which they didn't do last year. So props to them. Move on to Friday. I don't know.
It appears very early on that they're better than last year. Very, very, very early on. It's too early to make.
They swept East Carolina the first weekend last year. I don't know. I mean,
scored some more runs this year.
Yeah, they're hitting. They haven't seen velocity. Yeah. The kid from Memphis last night was a little left-handed that threw 84 miles an hour. I don't know.
I still say they're being better, a little bit better than last year. Won't. It's too early to make any sort of sweeping assertion. They better be better than last year because last year they didn't make the tournament.
Yeah. At this point, Austin Miller got in last night on the mound. The only guy that I expect to pitch some that hasn't pitched is Connor Green. Don't know. Yeah, that's all I took from it. It was fine. They had 12 hits. So they've had, in four games, they've had 13 hits, 13 hits, 3 hits, and 12 hits. So 75% of the time, pretty good so far. Again, play Tulane. They beat Wright State last weekend. Mississippi State plays at Jackson State tonight.
I wonder if the coach will take his cell phone to the bench.
You've been really intrigued by this Andy Canizero story over the last
36
hours.
For the love of God,
hours.
You're not intrigued?
I'm kind of really trying to ignore it.
You are out of your mind.
No gossip whatsoever.
Oh my God,
I haven't.
Stop it.
I've ridiculed people in text messages, said, no, we are not talking about that. I'm not playing along.
If anybody believes that right now, let me tell you, I know this is the darling Chase Parham, but no. That's an absolute bold-faced lie.
Well, I feel, as you said, if even a smidge of the things that I've heard over the last 36 hours are true, and Kendall Rogers, to his credit, I think is the only one so far to come out and go, he got fired for having an inappropriate relationship with an employee, a former employee. Everybody else kind of danced around it. Kendall came out and said it yesterday in his column. I feel awful for his family. There's no doubt about that. I mean, that's not going to change anything I say about him or anybody else. That's the number one deal with a bullet. In saying all that, sad, and then as we go through this, a whole lot of stupidity on a number of levels kind of coming out here on how this was handled. I mean, some of it defying logic in a way that is interesting.
I'm just shocked to know, forget the rest of the stuff, that you would take your cell phone to the dugout with you. I wouldn't want my cell phone in the dugout. I'm focused on the game.
If something catastrophic happens, someone will tell me.
Well, they got a phone in there, and there's people. I got support people with phones.
Yeah.
if I need to know something, I can find out.
Yeah, your ops guys are looking at scores on the internet the whole dang game. So,
yeah, it's just mind-boggling.
Stayed in a weird spot. So they start the Gary Henderson era tonight at Jackson State because Duty Noble's not ready yet. So they are doing that, but we'll see.
They invested a lot of money in that stadium.
Yeah, the final plan, like most things, is not the way it's necessarily going to look, but it's impressive. They've took another step. I mean, every program in the SEC pouring money into baseball facilities. It looks really nice. I'll be eager to see it here in a few weeks when Ole Miss heads down there. Thank God it's not Super Bowl log weekend, but it's just so many people. It's not really the state thing. It's just so many people. Yeah. I mean, it's just I don't like people enough for that type of environment when I'm not used to it. Yeah, I'm just not really my thing. How's the state media going to handle the accommodations at Jackson State tonight?
Oh, that'll be snarky.
You think so? Probably. That they're going to have one of those ULL type experiences where they get all pissy?
Well, I guess they all have to go down there. State should have done a press conference.
Yeah, you have to go now because what? And I think I was told last night. Basically, they told the media we'll talk about it tomorrow night at the game.
Just do it yesterday. Hold a press conference.
Instead, it's going to happen in Jackson at Jackson State.
And Henderson's going to have to ask questions that he's going to be like, dude. I can't answer that.
I coach the pitchers.
And that's where John Cohen needs to be the guy that says, front and center, it's me. I'm taking your questions. Fire away.
It's a regrettable situation. We handled it best we could. We're trying to move on best we can.
It's that what did you know and when did you know it?
Yeah.
Which is a really awkward place to be.
And I don't know the answer to that.
Always kind of felt bad for Ross Bjork when he was put in those spots. We had to ask those questions, what did you know, when did you know it? And his real answer is, I really can't tell you. And
yeah, it's a really complicated answer.
Drink up if you're out there at home playing the Oxford Exxon podcast drinking game. It was a nuanced thing. If he were to answer it honestly, he would do it with quite a bit of nuance.
Yeah, so.
Drink up.
Anyway, State at Jackson State tonight. We'll see what is set out of there. Actually, a kid throwing for State tonight is a transfer from Tulane that pitched against Ole Miss in the regional, I think, 2 years ago. So, anyway, podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You can local underwriting and understand your market. Also, a leader in condo financing, and you get the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that is the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's tremendous service. I've used Grenada Nissan for, 10 years. Bought several cars from them. It's fantastic. I've never had a single problem. You won't either. GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. You heard Ben on the podcast about a week ago. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Well, recently State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. Let him look at your rental properties. Let him give a shot at your properties. Get a quote. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to just give him a call, go to Google and read the reviews. They're amazingly favorable. People have a great customer service experience with Romero Miller State Farm. And if you're in Mississippi or Tennessee with insurance needs, you will too. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212.
All right. So Rebel Rags yesterday files.
You're going to have to walk me through this.
Files another suit, adding more defendants. And essentially what happened was the original case had several unnamed John Doe defendants, and it's awaiting a ruling on petition from the Mississippi Supreme Court. The Rebel Rags filed a motion to lift the stay on the case, which would allow it to amend the complaint and add these people. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yep.
So it's kind of in this holding pattern. It's been stuck. Well, there's also a certain statute of limitations going on where people have to be served in a certain amount of time, and it's possible for defendants or cases to be thrown out because of the statute of limitations running out, even with the pending ruling not having happened. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So Merkel told the Clarion Ledger that John Kelly Luther, the judge, told him basically the easiest thing to do is, since there's a delay, was to file another lawsuit with the unnamed John Doe defendants in it. So the two cases are going to be consolidated into one. All this did was, it was a precautionary measure so that nothing would run out from a statute standpoint, limitation standpoint, and would allow them to start naming other people besides, was it Leo, Lindsey Miller, and Kobe? Is that right?
Yeah, and Dan Mullen.
Well, no, from the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then yesterday they added Dan Mullen, Scott Strickland, Mike Sheridan, and the NCAA itself, where they added defendants yesterday. And the rulings and different, not the rulings, the language and things are still exactly the same. I mean, it's centered on defamation, civil conspiracy, and commercial disparagement. Essentially, they're saying that Mullen, Strickland, Sheridan, and the NCAA were allegedly part of an overarching conspiracy which impacted the outlet store when it was named in the notice of allegations. Scott Strickland's attorney, Starkville-based attorney Charles Winfield, told the Clarion Ledger, simply put, the claims against Mr. Strickland are wholly devoid of merit, and there is simply no good faith basis in either law or fact for Mr. Strickland to have been made a party to such a case. So that's the Cliff Notes nuts and bolts version of what happened yesterday.
The legal fees on this alone for Terry Warren and Rebel Rags are going to be
getting very high by the minute,
right?
That's my understanding or assumption. Yes.
I mean, I don't really know what I think.
Still awaiting on that first ruling, because at some point they got to be consolidated or it essentially goes back to zero and you start over. I understand the legal purpose for this. I just wonder how long it stretches out and what the end game is, because as we're all aware and as being exhibited in this case, it's on its own time. And that time usually is measured more in months and years than days and weeks.
What is the end game?
Well, I mean, the end game would be to show that your business was harmed by these false allegations based on the evidence that was provided in the response to the notice of allegations.
So you would collect a civil judgment against the aforementioned parties?
Yeah, it's a civil case. So there would be a monetary penalty.
I would guess. Proving that conspiracy is going to be difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you have some false items, but from a court standpoint, it's complicated. So, yeah, yesterday was news, but it didn't really do anything other than name these people is what it was. I mean, it had the exact same result as if the judge had just allowed Merkel to put these names into the first suit, because that's what's going to happen eventually anyway. They're going to consolidate.
Yeah, some of the people frothing at the mouth over it, I thought, not sure that you're taking a step back and really focusing on what this is.
Yeah, it was a safety valve for Merkel to make sure nothing ran out, to make sure they were good, to just continue as is, but they wanted to get these other names public. I'm kind of wondering, this is all running together, so if this is a very clear answer, I apologize. This makes my head spin after a while. I don't really understand why these people weren't just named in the initial case.
I didn't either.
To save the time.
Probably was a long 24 hours for Dan Mullen yesterday.
It's also possible Merkel knew that this thing could get held up with statute of limitation issues, so let's hold something back in case I do need to do something else
to give me a reset.
That's possible. He's good at what he does.
Yeah, he's a very good attorney.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan. Ambulance chasers and whatnot. No socialized health care, so we're screwed.
Can you imagine if you put Charles Merkel in Norway? I mean, you would solve so many problems.
Yeah. Anyway. Is Dan in South Korea? Is he covering the Olympics?
I think so.
Is he?
Yeah. When you first said Dan, I was thinking Mullen.
No.
I was like, no, Morgan. Man. Not there.
No, Dan Mullen's not in South Korea.
Nope.
Probably wish he was over the last 24 hours.
I would think yesterday was a day that he thought, you know, Pyeongchang would be nice this time of year.
You know, whatever he knew or did not know, you know, at some point in those last 48 hours, his phone rang and it was Megan, and he goes, I really don't want to have this conversation right now.
Yeah, he looked down at it and went, oh, damn it.
There's nothing here, but I know what this is going to be about, and I'm not really in the mood.
Because, you know, she asked.
Hey, just...
What was up with?
Did you know anything was going on with so-and-so?
Yeah.
So about that.
Now, is she or is she not still employed at Florida?
Someone told me they took her name off the website. I have not checked that myself, but someone did tell me that. So I don't know. So anyway, I don't know. There'll be more Rebel Rags news at some point, but this is where this is. The good news for Ole Miss is it does not actually involve them. For once, they are out of the news from the standpoint of just being directly involved in this suit. But anyway, let's see. Last couple things today.
I think Facebook page went down.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was a given, I think. That was a free space nil. Be one of your moves, wouldn't it?
I would think.
If nothing else, Rebel Rags is getting a little negative publicity for those guys. It's on the front of ESPN.com, the very homepage with Ole Miss banners around it, which is kind of strange considering it's Florida people and an independent party providing the suit. But Ole Miss logo is all over the story, and it says Gators Mullen AD Strickland added to lawsuit. I get why they do it. I'm not really criticizing ESPN here, but it's amazing the amount of people that aren't putting any disconnect whatsoever between Rebel Rags and Ole Miss, the entity. Ole Miss is not suing anyone. Ole Miss's counsel is not suing anyone.
Right.
The guy that replaced Lee Tyner is not suing anyone. So I don't know. Just anyway, there as we go. If
Ole Miss had its way, this lawsuit probably wouldn't really exist.
At least at the beginning, that was the case. I don't know what
might have changed by now.
Yeah, I don't know where we are at this point. A lot of stuff has
you and I have not spent the energy and time on this that others have.
Well, and a lot of that is it's got to get to a point where I believe it actually does end up in a finality before I think that matters. I think there's so many levels to this lawsuit where there's so many hiccups that at any point it could just stop. And I'm not saying Terry's going to stop it. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying from a process standpoint, we're not at the point of really knowing much of anything yet. There's no way to bring in conclusions anywhere near right now.
And I'm not crazy about one-sided, one-sourced journalism. I'm not saying it's wrong. It makes me nervous. And so you're spending a lot of time. You'd almost have to be a legal reporter to do this right, where you're talking to all the attorneys, getting everything. not just one.
A lot of stuff to wade through.
Side. You'd have to really know what you were doing.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow with Jeffrey and I think another guest too. I need to confirm something today, but soon. If not tomorrow, stuff at rebelgrove.com, including I did a story this morning on Brady Bramlett joining the SEC Network Plus team. He is replacing, as we mentioned earlier in the week, David DiLucci, who has been hired by the SEC Network to do their national games that are on television, also do studio work for the SEC Network. So for SEC home games, Brady Bramlett in the booth as the color analyst for Ole Miss, former Ole Miss pitcher. So he talks about that on the side at Rebel Grove. Got video again of Madlock from Ole Miss's win over Missouri. And we'll have more throughout the day. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.